are listening to Legacy Moments, where we have authentic conversations about life, business, and so much more. I am your host, Dr. Patrice Berry, and I am joined by my co-host and mom, Johnny Lloyd. Together, we combine my years of psychological training with her years of life and business experience to add value to your day. Today, we're going to hop right into toxic family members, how to deal with toxic relationships when we might be related. And so I think it's first a good spot to define what does it mean to be toxic. Did you want to start there?
Yeah, I think that's a great place to start. And toxic, if you can look at something, something is added to you that causes you to, whether it be triggers or whether it's not healthy, when you're in that environment, you feel like somebody's drawing all of your energy out and you cannot explain it. Have you ever been in a room with family members and it seems like every time you go in, it's never positive? They're always stating what you're not versus celebrating who you are. That can be very toxic, as well as when you're in a space and you feel like you're drained. Like you go in and you have, let's say, a decent day. You walk in, and then before you leave, it's like you feel like you need to crawl out. You feel like somebody needs to plug you in. And that's how you normally understand that it's toxic. There's something happening inside that environment that you're in.
And I think the interesting thing is sometimes you don't know an environment is toxic until you step out of that environment. Because if from when a child is very little, if I start putting a little bit of something in their food, they're going to get used to it. But then if they're 12, 11, and then all of a sudden I try to give them a big dose of this thing that they're not going to like, they're going to taste it and they're going to be like, oh no, I don't want that. Versus if you've kind of been in a situation for a while. And so that's where often people don't realize that their situation is not healthy until they see other examples. And I wouldn't compare to TV, because TV only shows like one side. Nobody has this perfect family where everything is good all the time. I think the signs that that a relationship might be toxic is, do they make you feel bad about yourself? Is there shaming? Because there's a difference. If I make a mistake and someone holds me accountable for what I did versus somebody saying, ah, you're the worst ever, and kind of putting me down for who I am. And sometimes that can come directly from relationships. Or if I tell them, hey, doing this hurts me, and they continue to do that thing, that's a problem. And everyone is going to determine. And sometimes this is cultural. Sometimes there's a lot of different things that play into it. And for some people, they would rather have some relationship with a family member than completely cut them out of their life. But that's where I say, at least to be able to manage your own reality. Because what a toxic person will do is they will try to change how you feel and how you perceive things. Where if you, let's say they hurt your feelings, they might come back at you and be like, oh no, that was your fault. Wait, what? I'm confused about this. And so making sure that you are able to set some boundaries if you can. And setting a boundary, that person may not respect it. And then that's where I think you have some type of, where let's say you have a family member that every time y'all get on the phone, they start yelling and screaming at you. Well, you could say, this isn't, hey, I'm starting to, like, I know you're really excited. I know there's a lot going on. If you don't bring it down, I'm going to have to go. And then they keep yelling and screaming. All right, I'll see you later. Bye. Click. Because you have to be able to set, not only with the boundary, there has to be some action that comes if that person continues to break it.
Yeah, the key is accountability to the boundary, right? And the person who is first and foremost accountable is you, because you help people learn how to treat you. One thing I would like to go back to, which I think was an amazing point, was looking at TV and building TV or media as your benchmark of what a relationship should look like regarding your family. when that happens, we have to be very careful, because right now there's a lot of, I'm gonna call it reality scripted TV. Did y'all hear me? Reality scripted TV. So it's reality TV. And some people say, well, you know, drama is normal. That's the way, you know, life is, or negativity is normal. And what Patrice mentioned about sometimes when you get little bites all your life, you think certain treatment is normal. And then you go and you look at something else and you say, whoa. And then you get that feeling like, okay, that's, I need to switch this up. I need to switch out of this, because now I see, I didn't know, now I see what appeals to me. And it's not about blaming, shaming. It's about you reclaiming your mental, physical, emotional health and moving forward. And because that's extremely important, because when you don't take care of yourself, being toxic is about you not eating the thing that would cause harm to you. And when I say eating, I'm saying mentally feeding on it. I'm saying emotionally feeding on it.
Do you mean being in a toxic environment?
Or what do you mean? Being in a toxic environment is you not continuing to stay in that, or controlling, like you mentioned, controlling your response to their action, whether it build boundaries or whatever. Just make sure that you gauge yourself.
And then I think with that, some people are in situations where due to finances, due to your age, sometimes you are not able to leave this situation right now. And there's a difference between toxic and abusive. And so I do want to kind of make that note, because toxic is just, it's problematic. It's not what I would want. And then there are situations that are not safe. And I've worked with people that were not in safe situations, but financially they weren't in a space to be able to get safe. And that's where we talked about creating as much safety as they could. We would have a safety plan in place. I think some vulnerable populations are people that have histories of a felony, because often shelters won't take people that have certain criminal records. And so being able to kind of tell the difference, and often partnering with somebody else, because it's really hard to see what it is when you are in it. Mm-hmm. Because once again, you're kind of used to it. And so being able to step back and talk with someone else, and but you might have some family members that are be like, oh no, that's normal for that person to do those things. But you look at their life and they don't have the types of relationships that you would want. So I think making sure that you're partnering with people that are safe, that do have some boundaries, and then also knowing, because I feel like there are some myths or lies or things that people believe within families, like blood is thicker than water, meaning that, hey, I can treat you however I want because we're family. And that's not accurate. If you do these things, then I am going to create safety for myself. And so being able to set those boundaries, I think is really important.
And then once you find yourself, or you understand that you're in a toxic situation, right, with family members, and you come out of it, let's say you are now grown, you're older and you come out of it, make sure you seek help to make sure that you're okay, because remember, you've been in this, and this has been quote unquote your norm or what you've had to deal with. So don't be afraid to go in and say, you know, I've been in this, so how do I, this is the way I want my life to be. So now how? So I'm gonna hand it over to Dr. Barry.
No, but I think what that does is that helps break the cycle and the pattern, to help learn some new skills, to help learn and act on certain warning signs that, hey, something's not quite right. Maybe this isn't the right person for me. Mm-hmm. Because I think within family, within certain relationships, I think there can be a lot of things that happen that just don't promote safety and security. And I think that's extremely important. And so being able to say, hey, for my own mental health, I'm only going to talk to this family member once a month. For my own mental health, I'm only going to talk to them on, you know, on one or two major holidays. And that being okay, you not having, because people will be like, oh, that's your mother. that's your father. Or people will try to make you feel bad for setting boundaries for yourself. And while you're working on yourself, so it is really hard to heal in a toxic environment. So it's hard to get better if I am still in the environment that is continuing to create more harm. Like, things will only get so much better within that environment. And so that's where I work with clients on, hey, if we need to start to budget and set aside some finances, if we need to apply for a higher paying job, if we need to work on you being able to have some type of income, we end up doing those things.
And that's powerful, because it's about empowering yourself. It's about self-empowerment. What helps you move forward? So even some of the things that she's mentioned, like the setting up a budget, setting money aside, all of those things will cause your brain and your life and your emotion to trigger and to shift in such a way that says, this is temporary. This is temporary. I'm moving toward another thing in my life and I'm moving toward better. And it's really empowering. And that's the key. See, I believe that life is 90% my reaction, 10% what they do, 90% my reaction. So the key is, what is going to be your reaction to people's actions?
And there are some people that just, they are never going to change. And you trying to change them, or you trying to, it's just not going to happen. And the best thing that you can do sometimes is not react. On TikTok, I follow some amazing people that give information for people that are in narcissistic or like that are dealing with extremely problematic relationships. And some of the advice is something called gray rock, where the person is trying to get an emotional reaction out of you, because family systems work. And dysfunction can actually function where, oh, even though this isn't what we want, this pattern and cycle, you get mad at me, I get mad at you, you end up blaming and shaming me, I go to my room and cry. And like, or I then yell and scream at you, because some people feed off of being able to draw an emotional reaction out of people. And at first, they will sometimes get more mad if they can't get a reaction or a response. And so the gray rock method is just not responding, not reacting. The person says something harmful and just like, hey, that's not okay. And then I walk away, but I don't then yell and scream and argue with them and give them that negative reaction that they're actually seeking. Because often my understanding is that they will get bored and they will move on to something else.
And the other, that is, I haven't heard of gray rock, but what I did study was the DNA of relationships by Dr. Gary Smalley. And in that book, it talks about a similar reaction. It's about pressing buttons. It talks about the power of one, the power of you taking control of your emotions or your reaction to other people's action. And what happens is if I press here and it's sore and Patrice jumps, right? But if I'm getting joy for whatever reason and I want to press there and I know she has a problem there and I keep on pressing and she keeps on jumping, then the moment I press and she doesn't react, and I'm like,
it's not the,
what happened? And so then we'll try it again, press and she doesn't react. Then I'm saying, what happened? And then I try to press somewhere, what happened? So I'm pressing it, so she's not reacting. So that's the key. The key is not that you may not be acting or reacting inside, but to allow the other person the joy or happiness or the ability to see your reaction. It's you taking control, and then they're looking for something. Or like Patrice said, then they'll talk, they'll walk away and say, well, I can't, you know, that doesn't bother her anymore, so I'm not going to do that. We can be in that in family relationships. It's a great place that happens. I mean, I was raised with five brothers and a sister, and we did things to each other, but we knew the reaction. Now, we weren't trying to be malice or anything like that because we absolutely love each other. However, we just have to be careful in what we say and do. And then if we think toxic, relationships, if we think that we've hurt somebody, then it's very important for me at this point in my life that I go back and I say, hey, that wasn't my intent. Because, and I'm gonna let you come jump in, because the key with that is I'm in a different place in my life and I can do that now. Now, when I was younger, I may not have even realized it. However, to do that now is very powerful.
I have a friend group and we used to kind of say things. We would joke with one another, but they were kind of mean jokes. And no one's intent was to harm. Nobody ever said like, hey, I don't like this. It was actually some feedback from my husband. He came with us one time and he was like, y'all were kind of mean. And I was thinking, who, what? And then I kind of took a step back and like, okay, we're making these little kind of passive aggressive jokes and we're kind of used to having this dynamic and we had to shift and change it. And what I did was I just said, okay, I'm not going to engage in this anymore. If I have something to say to someone, I'm going to say it straight. I'm not going to make a joke about it where I'm saying what I want to say, but I'm kind of saying it in a roundabout way that kind of, I mean it in a funny way and they may even laugh, but I wouldn't want for somebody to not give me feedback that, hey, this is hurting because your intent doesn't matter.
No, it does not. Because in so many cases, this is something I recently put out, is I said, I know what I said, but basically, did you understand? I know you heard what I said, but did you understand what I meant? Because it has to pass through our filter. So let's go back to toxic relationships, family relationships. Because what happens is now I'm dealing with a person on the other side of me. I don't know all of their history. I don't know everything that they've been through, right? And even if a person tells you something, they didn't tell you everything. So their filter or life filter, everything is being processed through that filter. So I may say something in a passive aggressive way that we are all laughing about, but the person walks away and they're hurt because what they heard was something that was repeated in their life about they're not worth it. They're worthless. They're whatever. The person is replaying this thing in their head that may not have directly come from what I said, but it tapped into a pain that they have. So that's why it's so important when I do feel like I should go back and apologize that I do that. And when the person, even if the person says, well, that's not the way I took it, no problem. I just want to cut it off because I want to always add value to people and not be destructive.
And sometimes when we have toxic relationships within family, then when we are in a new relationship, so we have a new friendship, we're engaging with other people, they may say or do something that pushes that button, but I have to step back and think, was this because it sounded like what this other person said, or was this really about this person? Because what happened, this dynamic might actually be more about this other person. Because let's say I call a friend and they don't pick up the phone. I'm more of a texter. So this is totally a made up example. You know it is because I talked about calling someone. So I call a friend, they don't answer. And now I'm all up in my head, like, what did I do? Did I do something wrong? Like, do they not care? Like, how could they not be there for me? But really that might've pushed a button of maybe abandonment and rejection that was from earlier on. And so making sure that you're addressing those wounds along the way. So because often what happens is we address things, especially if things happen in early childhood or before the age of 18, those things may still pop up from time to time that I think, oh, I'm good with this. And then my spouse says something and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I need to go work on me a little bit more. And I think it's owning your triggers. Because when I have my trigger, when I am able to own that, wait a minute, and then I'm able to take care of myself. If this is a safe person, I'm able to tell them, hey, can we try to not, like, this is something that I'm working on it. Like, I know this wasn't your intent. I'm not saying that you're like an evil. I'm not saying that you're that person that did cause some harm in the past. I'm just letting you know that if you see a reaction from me, this is what I'm working through right now.
And that's really important because sometimes in relationship, we come out of one relationship, and I'm talking about family, and we will let someone else that we believe, sometimes that we have, I don't want to say one up, but that can take it. And we'll say, I'm going to make them pay for what I just felt over here. And the other thing is, even in our family, we have an amazing family. I love my family. But we do passive-aggressive stuff. We are really, I mean, can I just be honest? We are passive-aggressive. And so I have to be very careful with that. Because just because we're laughing and everybody's, you know, everybody's happy, happy, joy, joy on the calls or whatever we're doing, you don't want, I never want a person to leave there and not be happy. I mean, I don't want to say happy. I don't want to say hurt. Let me say not hurt, because happiness is something you control. People don't give you happiness. It's something that you control. And the other thing I'm going to flip back to is change. The thing that's so powerful with change is you don't have the power to change somebody else. I don't care if you birth them. I don't care if you, wherever they are in your life. You don't have the, I'm going to say it again. You do not have the power to change anybody. The power to change is an internal power that the person determines that they desire to change, so they'll do the work.
Because if the person changes a little bit for you, but they did it for you. They didn't do it for themselves. They changed a little bit for you. If you're not in a relationship anymore, they're going to go back to factory settings. They're going to go back to how things were before, because it really wasn't something that they wanted. It was something that they were doing for you. And just a special note for substance abuse, because sometimes we know people have issues, that they have problems. Often there can be codependence with non-using family members, where we may know, oh, this person is a little bit nicer, they're a little bit kinder, or we kind of justify things or turn a blind eye to things. And so making sure that setting boundaries with people that are and encouraging them to get help and support. But it is on that person to accept and engage in that help and support.
And I want to tap a little bit deeper into the changing for someone else. What can happen is when you change. Okay, so you're with your cousin, and they think you're bougie. Let's do that. Let's do an example. Your cousin and them think you bougie, so you shift for them, right? And then you're with another group, and they think you whatever, and you shift for them. And then you see what I'm saying? Who are you authentically? So sometimes we then come and we're with ourselves, and we say, "Well, who am I?" And so we start questioning who we are. And Patrice was talking about going back to factory settings. I love that. Can I just say I'm going to use that on public? I'm going to use it right now. I'm going to use it because I'm a speaker, so I'm going to use that. And this is the key with going back to factory settings. When you go back to factory settings, you have to be careful, because then you may be in a real relationship with somebody and they say, "Whoa, what just happened?" "Well, this is who I am." And they say, "But that's not who I met. That's not what we did. That's not the way you normally are." And so you went back to factory settings. But however, the worst thing a person can do is forget factory settings and go to a place that is in the atmosphere and they don't know who they are. They're just confused about, and when I say confused, I'm not being negative. I'm just saying they're trying to figure out who they are because they have been twisted and turned so many ways and readjusted or changed for so many people that now they're wondering, "Well, who am I?"
And that's where I think breaking cycles of codependence and finding your own voice and being able to figure out your own intuition. Because often what I've seen with people that are in similar situations like that, they have been molded by other people, and that helped them get through. Because some of the patterns and things that we develop early on, or the ways that we behave, it helped us survive a difficult situation. But now we're safe, but we're still doing some of those same things. And so that's where, again, I think sitting down with someone that you can kind of work through it within a safe environment. And as a therapist, ooh, it changed my life when I realized that I can't fix people. People come to me and I don't do the fixing. I tell my clients, I can be the best therapist in the world. And if you continue to do what you've been doing and don't, and I will work with you. I will try to, you know, suggest different skills. I will, you know, but I don't work harder than my clients. So I used to work with people and think, oh my gosh, I could see them going this far. And then, but that person, maybe they only wanted to go this far. They only wanted to go two steps and I'm trying to take them 10 steps. And those, the difference between those steps is everybody's frustration. The client gets frustrated, I'm frustrated. And so about early, thank goodness I figured this out early in my career, it's like, wait a minute, I'm not going to work harder than someone else. And that's where there's a technique called motivational interviewing. It was developed for substance use disorders. And what it does is it says, okay, where are you at? You don't even see a problem? Okay, step one is let's get you to see that there's a problem. Okay, you see there's a problem? Okay, do you think you want to work on it? Okay, yep, okay, so now we think we want to work on it. But if you're at, I don't think there's a problem, and I'm trying to get you to change that behavior, you're not. It's just, I'm going to be frustrated and it's not going to work.
And she's talking from that side. Let's talk about from the business, because I'm a business consultant. I'm a B2B consultant as well as a financial guru, right? And so one of the worst things, I remember it so distinctly, looking at people's lives and wanting them to be where I knew. I literally saw them. I'm telling you, I saw the potential in them, the untapped power. I was fighting for them. Do you hear me? I was pulling out all of my hair.
She was tired.
I was tired. I was hurt. I was like, don't they see it? I didn't learn as quickly as she did.
I think you ended up talking with me because you were frustrated. And then I probably asked you a question like, what is it they want? Just to have a person step back and think, wait a minute, like these are all the things I want for them. And I might be able to convince them to want those things, but are they going to do what they need to do to get there? So, okay. So let's say I want to be healthier, but I am never going to give up bread. I'm just not. Unless, like, I'm just, there is, there, no, I'm
all
not going to do it.
All the flour goes away in the world. Wheat, everything.
I'm not going to do it. And so if me being healthier means me never having bread, then okay, and then if somebody was trying to get me to stop eating bread, they would be extremely frustrated because I'm not going to do it. I might smile and nod to get them to stop talking. Like that's
what happens. Looking for bread all the time. Smelling the hot bread. And this is the deal. I love that. This is the deal. Let's talk about it in family relationships. Let's be a little bit more specific. I'm a parent, right? And a lot of you are parents. So let's talk about it when you're children. You see the potential in your child. So you, as a parent, loving, caring, thoughtful, all of those wonderful things we can put on air, right? Looking at your child and trying to shake them. And when I say shake, I'm not saying physically, but trying to just shift them into doing what you see them able to do. The more you fight them, the more they seem like they're walking away from what you're saying. Did you hear what I said? The more you fight them or your struggle for resist, they're resisting you. So this is the deal. Find out what they want. Patrice put it so eloquently. If they don't think it's a problem, I remember this. Patrice says she wanted to be a beauty. Now we talk about somebody who lives really well. She wanted to be a beautician. So people said, you're not freaking out? I said, nope. So what I did was, I said, you want to be a beautician? I said, no problem. That's where you want to be. I said, you know how you live, right? Do you like the way you live? And she said, yes. And I said, okay, so you having just being a beautician with one chair is not going to help you live at this level. So you And so I started talking, you know, to the stars, you're going to have franchises. I started speaking life into her. I didn't force her to go. I just started saying, well, this is what you need. And she just, okay, but it's a beautician. If I had fought the beautician, y'all probably wouldn't be seeing no doctor. She would be a beautician, probably not really. But my point for saying that is sometimes when we fight or we push against a person, they resist us. It's a normal thing that people do because they feel like you're trying to push something on them. So don't do that. Be careful about that. Look at where they are and join them where they are and go on the journey. Now, as a business consultant, when a person says, or when the money came in for people with the extra money came in, the stimulus money came in. I have a couple of people I was working with, right? And so the stimulus money come in. And I said, well, they have some real major issues. They're fixing their credit score, all of that stuff. We had a plan. I let them do the plan. We had a plan. And I said, so what do you do when extra money comes in? Because I knew the money was coming. And they wrote out what they were going to do. Then when the money came in, I don't know. Their eyes got big. I don't know what happened, but whatever happened, the money went. And I said, but you're delinquent and paying. I said, you do know. And they looked at me like, you can't see, but she's shaking her head. They looked at me like, uh-huh. So even when a person has agreed to something and they don't follow through, that's not my job. So you know what I said? I said, okay, well, you're going to get 5 more fees on this one and you're going to get 2 more fees on that one. Okay. And I moved forward. But you know why? Because now at this age, earlier, with some help from Patrice, she was, you know, so she practiced on me first. Helping me. She really did. Yeah, I know y'all don't believe it, but really, she had more control than we will talk about. No, but seriously, she would ask me intuitive questions. And you know what I'm saying? So when your children are doing that, or when you're in a relationship with someone in your family and they ask questions, or when you learn, listen to me, when you learn just to ask questions, that sometimes will get people to the place that they can naturally move forward.
All right. And so my final tips for dealing with toxic family members are set boundaries. Reinforce those boundaries. And so if the person is not abiding by the boundary, and if you can, safely, because sometimes people, they can't get out, but maybe you can create safety within your room. You can create safety in the bathroom. And you're like, maybe there is some place within your home that you can find some sense of safety, or you're at work and you're able to find safety there. Because I think we heal within safety. You can't really get better within a toxic environment. And then working towards getting into some healthier patterns, into some healthier relationships, and breaking some of those patterns. But we first have to be aware that, hey, oh, there's some poop in here. Like, there's this. This is a problem. This isn't okay. Okay, everybody else in my family seems to be okay with it. And don't be afraid to be the odd one out. So within my family, I tell them, so we don't curse around our son. And my mom's side of the family, they can.
Don't ask me why. All of them are tension. They're so intelligent. I said, surely you can find a word for that. Surely.
So I set a boundary and said, hey, if this language doesn't get together, I can't bring my child around you all. Or I'm only going to do it for short periods of time, because maybe y'all say, okay, we can for an hour, 1 hour. We can do it before the alcohol starts going. We can 1 hour. Okay. And so, but don't be afraid to be the odd one out, because we're trying to break some generational right. patterns. And so sometimes that makes other people uncomfortable, and that is more on them. And that has more to say about maybe the work they might need to do than it does about you.
And I'm going to use that same example. Check this out. When she said what she said, honesty, right? She set a boundary. Boundaries are not done in private. Boundaries need to be talked to, right? So she explained the issue, right? Number one. Number two, people on the call, they apologize. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. You know, now it's like, okay. But look at this. There were other children in the space. So other people who had allowed it to go on, we talked about, well, they don't need to hear it either. And we all came to an agreement. You're right. Why are we doing this? You know, because we're all, we know words. We know words. So we're, it caused everybody to become better when she established a boundary. And so that's my tip. My tip is this. Sometimes the boundary that you establish is going to help everybody in the room. So don't be afraid to be the odd person out. Don't be afraid to fight for your, when I say fight, I'm saying secure what you desire in your life, that place of safety. And then we respect it and move forward. So that is the powerful thing. And this is the my other tip, breathe. Literally breathe. Just breathe. Sometimes you're in the environment and like Patricia, you may have to go in the other room and breathe, go out and do something and breathe, breathe. And if you're in a place where you're a child or a young person, it may mean go out and find something you can do. Go ride a bike, go for a walk, breathe, and deal with you so that you're empowered in that space, even if it's for a few moments.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode today. I'm going to put a link that has resources. If you are not in a safe situation and you need to find some safety, I'm going to put a link on the Anchor site and then also on YouTube that has lots of resources if you need to find some safety. I hope you have a great rest of your day.